It was a gold rush and more. Almost a century and a half ago, European miners found diamonds and gold in southern Africa. What we now call South Africa was then a British colonial territory and a place for plots, resentments, and battles between Africans, Brits, and Boers, the Dutch-speaking farmers who were colonial rivals to the British. In his new book, Diamonds, Gold, and War, The British, the Boers, and the Making of South Africa, journalist and historian Martin Meredith explores how the conflict over land and wealth shaped the modern nation.
Well, the diamond industry, it started in a very ordinary way. There were 49ers from California who joined in the scramble for diamonds when they were first discovered, and people came from all over the world. And they were all individual diggers, and they lived in kind of pretty grim, ramshackle conditions. And then for a period of 10 or 15 years, there was a gradual consolidation of the diamond industry into fewer and fewer hands, until the point came where there was one monopoly company known as De Beers, which is still very famous as a diamond seller. And the man who organized and benefited from this monopoly was Cecil Rhodes, who was a colonial entrepreneur, ruthless, dynamic, restless figure, who subsequently became interested not just in making money, but in using money to extend the realms of the British Empire, as well as his own business interests. He then subsequently went on to form his own private company, and indeed his own private army, which headed north and took control of two large territories, one called Matabeleland and the other Mashonaland. And it was from those two territories that the colony of Rhodesia, named after Cecil Rhodes, was founded in 1890.
Before we move on to Rhodesia, I want to go back in your book to a description of what the mining camps were like, particularly what happened to the black mine workers. You say here the model for the closed compound system that developed in Kimberley was a convict station built by De Beers as a base for employing cheap convict labor. You go on to say by 1889, all 10,000 black mine workers in Kimberley were accommodated in closed compounds. What were those compounds like on a day-to-day basis?
They were rudimentary. The idea was to use African labor for periods lasting for 6 months to a year. They were deprived of all family life and fed substantial rations because the labor force needed to be looked after. But from the point of view of working conditions, they were pretty grim.
You focus on a specific period of history that predates certainly the end of apartheid. But as you mention, this system of keeping the men separated in these mining camps persisted. Some people say that it's one of the reasons that AIDS spread. Certainly there has been great risk to miners up until this day when there was a recent mine collapse. What price have workers paid, primarily black workers, for starting and continuing the act of diamond mining?
South Africa is rich in all kinds of minerals. And so mining is a very broad-based industry, not just confined to diamonds. But certainly the beginning of diamond mining, safety procedures that were employed, well, they were non-existent. It was routine for both white and black miners to be killed. And indeed, the level of accidents in South African mines has always been very high. That's partly because many of the mines are very deep and conditions, therefore, are more difficult. But it was also based on the notion that because black labor was plentiful, they were, in a sense, expendable. There was no real proper welfare system employed for black labor. The conditions were extremely difficult and dangerous, and indeed, in many cases, they still continue to be.
You don't have a strong African voice in this, although you mention some of the wars that were fought against colonialism, particularly in what's now southern Zimbabwe. You don't have a strong through line. Is that because you couldn't find these voices or because you chose not to have them in there?
Well, what I was trying to describe was this titanic struggle basically between the British and the Boers, which settled the fate of South Africa. And all the way through that period, the 40-year period really from 1870 to 1910, the indigenous black population played a subsidiary role in the making of South Africa. The people who were the protagonists were essentially the British and the Boers. And it's not that their voices of the blacks cannot be found, but in this great titanic struggle between the British and the Boers, they were forced to play a secondary role. And it's just the way that history worked out, as it were.
What has been the impact of the rush for diamonds and gold on the whole future of the region? I know this covers a very specific point in time, ending in 1910. But as you look at today's South Africa, and if you look at today's diamond industry, today's international relations, what did this period do to the fate of the world?
South Africa was, and still is today, the richest state in Africa. It has used its riches in some ways to enforce white supremacy through the 20th century, but it has also enabled South Africa to gain a very well-established infrastructure of everything from kind of power stations to railways to roads and so on. It has provided the basis for a highly prosperous and well-run state. And the wealth from diamonds and gold today is far more equitably shared, and much of it goes towards restoring, if you like, the rights of blacks. The diamond monopoly that Cecil Rhodes founded, De Beers still today plays a hugely important role in the marketing of diamonds, and indeed it is the most famous name still associated with diamond mining. If you ignore the pain and turmoil of the history, diamonds and gold are of huge benefit provided the revenues from them are well used. And in South Africa's case, that does apply. In many other areas of Africa, diamonds are used to enrich local factions. They become the basis of military conflict. They are used as contraband. And where they are not properly regulated, they are the cause of an enormous amount of harm and damage.
Well, Martin Meredith, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Martin Meredith's new book is Diamonds, Gold, and War, The British, the Boers, and the Making of South Africa. And next on News and Notes, poet and activist Nikki Giovanni.